Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I am Tim Wildman. The announcer just told you that. And Ed Battagliano is in studio with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And a lot to talk about today. Give us a little preview.
Well, we're going to have Tim Todd on here in just a moment. We are partnering with Revival Fires Ministries this week. This is Truth for Youth Week. Tim Todd will tell our listeners a little bit about that. We're going to have Angie May on, who's director of the AFA store. Janet Mefford, who is host of Janet Mefford Today. She's got a new show that will be airing soon on American Family Radio.
Her show was Janet Mefford Yesterday.
Well, sometimes it is, if there's big news yesterday. And when the listeners get a real treat, it'll be Janet Mefford tomorrow. She'll look into tomorrow's news before it happens.
She'll host all three?
Yes, she can at times. Wow. She's very talented. She can do all three, past, present, future.
But we're going to be talking about her new show on AFR called Janet Mefford Today.
Yes, and she's substituted on before, and she's smart.
If they don't know the name, they'll be familiar with her voice because she's on, as you say, substituting for a lot of our program hosts. So we look forward to talking to Janet.
That's right, and then we're going to have John Sparks, CEO of India Partners. We'll be talking about the work that they're doing to help children who have no parents, orphanages. And then also Alex McFarland. Question number 21. We've been going over several weeks, probably several months, really, once a week, looking at the 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity. Question number 21.
We finally reached the last question.
Finally reached the zenith of Alex McFarland questions. So,
hey, whatever happened to Zenith TVs?
You know, that is so strange because my wife and I were actually just talking about that the other day. Zenith TVs. What happened to those?
I don't know. That's a question Alex should answer in his next book. Maybe that's number 22 on the toughest questions your children ask you about Christianity. What happened to Zenith television?
What happened to Zenith? Yeah, Zenith TVs, those are big. They were big at one point.
I'll tell you what, don't tip Alex off, and hopefully he isn't listening to us right now, although he should be.
Yes, he should.
We'll ask him that.
And in the meantime, I'm going to look it up. Okay. I'm going to find out what happened to Zenith, and that way we'll just kind of put him on the spot.
Well, folks, over the last 15 years, we've been working with Brother Tim Todd and Revival Fires Ministries to get Bibles out to young people all over America, and the Bibles, the New Testament, and it's not the whole Bible. It's
right.
The New Testament, and it's also got some other great stuff in there for young people and geared toward young people. And joining us to talk about how we're doing, we always promote it this week during the year because it's sort of back to school week across the country, and Tim's going to give us an update. Tim Todd joining us from West Monroe, Louisiana. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great, Tim and Ed. Good to hear from you.
Where are we?
To be home, and I'm already missing you guys.
Well, you're up at our place here. I say up from West Monroe to Tupelo, visiting us Yankees up here.
Northerners. You Northerners.
Visiting us.
And your Yankee ways.
Yeah, it was cool weather. It was 96 here, and he escaped the 97 back in West Monroe. Anyway, Tim, tell us how many Bibles have our listeners and our supporters ordered since Monday?
So far, Tim and Ed, this is as of last night, probably around 7 o'clock, 19,700. So we are well on our way to breaking our 60,000-plus record, and we just encourage the listeners to continue to call and to continue to go online and help us get the Word of God back in the public schools of America.
Again, this sounds too good to be true, and most things that sound too good to be true are.
Right.
But in this case, it's not. Here's how this works, folks. Brother Tim is an evangelist, and he travels the country with his Revival Fires Ministries. And as he travels the country through the year, he takes up an offering. And he tells the people in the audience, hey, folks, this offering is to pay for the printing and the shipping of Bibles for teenagers all over the country. And American Family Association, American Family Radio is going to partner with us on this. And so the people make the donation throughout the year. Tim takes that money and he buys the Bibles and he pays for the shipping. So it doesn't cost AFA, AFR any money. And it doesn't cost you any money because Tim's already taken care of that. All Tim cares about and his staff, his team, and all we care about here at AFR is to see young people get saved. That's what we care about.
Right.
And that's what Tim cares about. So there's nothing, there's no gimmicks here. We're not tricking you into something. This is one of those cases where it sounds too good to be true. And it's not. It's not too good to be true because what I've just described is how everything is taken care of. Now, the only thing we ask is that if you order one of these free Bibles, you're eligible if you are a teenager or if you're a parent or grandparent of a teenager, and that teenager will agree to give this New Testament to a fellow classmate or someone they know, teammate, neighbor,
yeah.
Give it to another young person who does not know Christ. That's the goal as a gift. And so, Tim, did I describe describe it well?
Tim, you described it so well that I think what we're going to have to do is from this point forward, I'm just going to need to have you travel with me so that you can explain it because you explained it so well.
I'll just give you a recorded message, and you can choke us.
Now, and now, don't forget, guys. I want to make sure our listeners understand too. These comics that are in the front, 100 pages of very well done comics. Tim, tell our listeners, because this is to me one of the major points of the Truth
it differentiates
for You Bible.
This Bible from,
differentiates
yeah.
it, and this tell our listeners. What kind of topics these comics address, and why this seems to be so such a great way to get the Bible into the hands of kids and kids reading it?
Ed, first of all, that all of the comics that we've got in the front section have got the plan of salvation incorporated into the stories, and the stories deal with things like sexual purity. We deal with the truth about things like honor, pornography, the supernatural, homosexuality, secular rock music, any message that is in opposition to the Word of God, basically, is what that comic is about. One on the subject of evolution, one on sexting and cyberbullying, abortion, school violence, pluralism, cutting and suicide, drugs, drunkenness, and peer pressure. And it is just a phenomenal tool. You probably have one right there, and the listeners need to know. These are not just thrown together comic stories. I mean, these graphic knowledge are
yeah.
the best of the best. The guy that put them together, he used to work for Marvel Comics, and he created Jughead on Archie. He's spectacular. He wrote some great stories for us, and they're just phenomenal. Mm. The kids love them.
Okay, and all those comics dealing with the topics you mentioned, Tim, are very relevant to young people
right.
today. Now, here's the deal, folks. I'm about to give you the phone number, and this calls Tim's ministry in West Monroe. That's who's going to answer the phone. This goes right into their offices, and they'll take your name and your address and send you the Bible. Now, that's one free Bible. If you want, Tim, if they want to order, somebody wants to order 20, then you have to charge, but you're only charging your cost, right?
Exactly. And I have a really short testimony from somebody who just did that, if you want me to read it for you real quick.
But let me give the phone. How much are they sure. if you order 20?
If you order 20, they're just $3 each. If you order 50 or more, which is a case, you get them at my cost for only $2 each.
So I can get a case for $100.
Yes, that's correct.
Of these, okay, and give them to my youth group or whatever, however you want to do it. Okay, here's a phone number to call West Monroe. Get the one free per teenager that you know, or you can order more, as Tim just described it. They're very inexpensive, and they are great. They're really great Bibles. Here's the phone number. They're paperback. Obviously, they're not hardback for $2 a piece.
Right.
Here's the phone number to call West Monroe Revival Fires and order. You can go to 1-800-733-4737. Again, 800-733-4737. Now, if you want to go on the internet, just go to Tim's ministry. It's revivalfires.com. Is that right, Tim?
That's true.
Revivalfires.com and order the Bibles. Now, you got a testimony. You got, by the way, 25,000 young
decision cards.
Yeah. 25,000 people we know for certain have come to know Jesus Christ through this effort, because there's a card in the Bibles they have to clip out and send in and say that they were born again. And these are people that just took the time and effort and energy to,
right,
to mail those. Who knows how many never bothered doing that, or how many lives were affected beyond, you know, who somebody comes to know the Lord, then they tell others. You know how that works. But give us one of those testimonies, Tim.
We had a young person by the name of Jason. He said, my name is Jason, and I really like the Truth For Youth now. I first heard about it on American Family Radio during the Truth For Youth week. It is a great way to get God back in our public schools. We have already given away about 3,000 of these in our community and have seen a big difference in the lives of many troubled kids in our schools in this area. Thank you so much, and God bless you and your staff. That's in Lafayette, Louisiana. So they gave them out in a bunch of the schools in that area. And, Tim, I had somebody yesterday. They called in, and you'll love this. You know, the Church of Satan is trying to put Bible clubs in schools all over the country. And there's a city in Texas that they're trying to put the people in that area that are representing the Church of Satan are trying to get a club on the school campus after school. And I had somebody yesterday that called and ordered 1,200, and they're going to put one into the hands of every young person in the school where the Satan Club is trying to get into that school.
Wow.
Well, you know, folks, let me just speak to our listeners here, yeah, just for just a moment. Folks, you can't get any easier than this, okay? You get a free Bible. All a young person has to know, if you're a grandparent or parent and
right,
you know your kid, you know, it has a burden for student XYZ in their school or in their neighborhood, get this free Bible for them. And all we ask is that they commit to give. And this is a great opening for witnessing. If you're a young person and you're not sure how to start that conversation, this is a great way to do it. You give them the Bible and you say, listen, I've been praying for
right,
you. If there's anything I ever can pray for you about, or if you ever have a question, I'll do my best to answer. That is a great way to open the door. These are free Bibles, folks. You can't get any easier than this. We must get the Word of God into the hands of young people, many of whom know nothing about Jesus
right,
except what they've seen on a sitcom when someone misrepresents what Christianity
yeah,
is.
So call, and here's how you order the free Bible, free Bibles. If you have two teenagers, you can order two free. Beyond that, Tim said they're $3. If you're under 50, $3 a piece. If you order a case, it's 50 Bibles. It's
$2
a piece. Does that include shipping?
No, sure doesn't.
Okay,
shipping is not included in that, so it's just a little bit of shipping.
A few dollars. Okay, the phone number is 800-733-4737 to call West Monroe and make your place your order. And we're at almost 20,000 Bibles, headed for 60. That's our goal, 60,000 Bibles.
Let's get 60,000, folks.
Amen.
We can do that.
We can do that. It's doable.
Yes.
800. Here's the phone number, 800-733-4737. 1-800-237-3737. Hey, thanks, Tim. Look forward to an update.
One last thing for our listeners.
Yes, sir.
Tonight is Wednesday night. It's church night.
Right.
This would be a great night to get a bunch of young people to agree to get one of these Bibles, and we can bump that number up significantly after tonight.
Thanks.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Tim. Thank
you, Tim. You guys very, very much.
All right, brother.
That's Brother Tim Todd from Revival Fires in West Monroe, Louisiana. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. As always, we thank you for listening. Please help us spread the word in your community about American Family Radio. That's the best kind of advertising we can do, is word of mouth. And we are just developing more and more listeners every day all over the country. And a lot of times it's because somebody told somebody, hey, check out this radio station at this place on the dial. So we thank you if you're helping us be an ambassador for American Family Radio. Well, something we don't talk a lot about is our American Family Association online store. It's a place where you can go to get resources that will help you grow in your Christian faith in many ways. And our team, led by Angie May, they put a lot of effort into making our store the best it can be and offering resources that are relevant and are beneficial. And Angie joined us right now because we're going to do some shameless self-promotion right here, people. We're not going to hide it from you. For the next few minutes, we're fixing to brag on our own store, because if you go to our store, I think we can help you in many ways get the kind of products that you're looking for. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning.
So the AFA store, did I describe it right?
You did.
Well, I'm your boss, so it'd be helpful if you said yes right there.
That was perfect.
Okay. Well, don't pander. I mean, just yes. I did.
I feel like I've been called to the principal's office.
Okay.
At which point pandering is always helpful.
What kind of resources do we have available at the AFA store? And where is it online?
You can go to afastore.net and check out everything we've got. We've got lots of good devotionals. We have a lot of people here at AFA are very talented, and they write books, and we have great radio programs that we can build DVD sets around. And so it's just a really good place for pastors, for church leaders to go. And any topic you might have, we probably have the resource available for you.
AFA store. So best thing for folks to do is just type in afastore.net and go look at it for yourself.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I was going to say, is there anybody on this panel here who's written a book and whose book appears on afastore.net?
Yes. The president, Tim Wildman.
Yes.
has a book. And our own Ed Vitagliano has a book that I am currently reading right now.
You still got my book? I wrote two books in the 90s.
I know, and we have those.
Did you buy them from a garage sale and or somewhere and get them back?
We just keep finding books, and we're going to make sure that we get that out there.
Is that the ones you are saying, we'll pay you to take these books off our hands?
No. That's really hurtful.
That's hurtful.
That's not the way the store operates.
Somebody told me they did find one of my books like for a quarter at a garage.
That's what I always told my wife. I said, because I wrote a novel, and I said, I don't want to see it on a garage sale table for a quarter. Look, I just, Lord, make sure I just don't stop at that garage sale, you know?
There's that little place on West Jackson that's got like a little glass mailbox that people put books in. You don't want to see it there. People drive by, take a book, and give a book.
We don't want to give the impression that the only thing that's at afastore.net is just in-house stuff. We have something from, like, for example, from Ray Comfort. Which is right.
Currently, right now, we have The Atheist Illusion, which is by Ray Comfort. It's a download. With that download, you get the actual video, The Atheist Illusion, which if anyone's familiar with Ray Comfort, it's his typical man on the street style where he questions.
It's great.
Right.
And this, to me, is one of his best.
I agree.
And he really, at the end of the video, you see that he's actually got atheists questioning their whole thought process. One guy even says, well, I'm just lying to myself. you know, and so he really has them thinking in that.
The best thing to do is to go to the store, afastore.net, and check it out, folks, because we've got a lot of great resources there, and it helps our ministry if you order from that website. But there's a lot of great resources there. You mentioned Ray Comfort. There's just all kind of things that we, Dr. Alex McFarland's resources. So
Stephen McDowell.
Stephen McDowell. So go there and check it out. It's called afastore.net. Type it up. Ed, let's just do what we're telling our listeners to do. Why don't you just, you and I together, look at the
okay,
website.
So you don't want me to reveal what I found out about Zenith televisions, right?
Well, you can come back to that. You know how to go back?
Yeah, I do.
Where you AFA were?
AFA Store.
Just type in afastore.net and let's see what's there right now. Okay.
Okay, we've got, now we do have the
well,
Ray Comfort
stuff.
There's a
picture of Monty Hall. It's that's make a deal time right here on AFA Store. No, we got what now? Tell me
well,
what
we it starts off with, we were just talking about okay. The Atheist Delusion.
Yeah,
there's a bundle for only a suggested donation.
So we bundle things together just like AT&T.
That's right.
We do.
That's a download, the DVD down, MP4 download.
Okay.
It's a movie. And then there's an MP3, God Doesn't Believe in Atheists. And then a book, Jaws Without Teeth. So that's front
for
and center
example.
With the feature project, a Broken Mirror paperback book that's based on a true story that is from
Sarah Berry.
Sarah Berry. Then next, I'm just clicking through With One Cry. That's a book by David Butts. It is talking about a challenge to the church to pray for America.
That's an excellent resource.
Dr. Alveda King comes up next. That's from the AFA's Cultural Institute.
Yeah.
Dr. Alveda King, she has a series, it's a DVD of on race in America.
Well, this gives you an example.
Yes.
Of the, and these are original. A lot of this stuff is original.
The Cultural Institute is all original AFA content.
Yeah. Right.
All right, so go there, afastore.net, afastore.net. All our resources, we have a short description of what they are. So you can, thank you, Angie.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Angie May joining us.
Good job, Angie.
Yeah,
we've now made you a radio star.
Sure.
Did I pass the test?
You did, pass flying colors. You pandered just as we had hoped you would.
Oh, me. And you're listening to American Family Radio. Check out our store, though, afastore.net. Catching the Olympics last night?
No, I didn't. My daughter is visiting from California, and so we were at the grandkids' house. My
Are
son
you interested and, in that at all?
You know, I it's been a while since I've watched
Olympics.
Summer Olympics. I usually watch the Winter Olympics. The Summer Olympics is the kind of thing, if I sit down and watch it, I get sucked in, you know, because you're, you know, watching races or you're watching gymnastics. But it's really, I rarely will just, you know, on purpose sit down. So the grandkids were, entertaining us last night, and we didn't even turn the TV on. So
yeah.
So you I'm got not, your, not to be you, spiritual.
You got your, okay, well, the our girls' gymnastics team won the four competition.
Won gold, didn't they?
Won gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won gold.
That's twice in a row. They won in London and now here in Rio. So
yeah. Those young ladies can. I bet the 4'11" Simone, I think is her name. I think she can probably dunk. No, I mean those girls can get up. They go.
Yeah.
They jump. They springboard. Now it's kind of they're on that mat, so they're kind of running. They get a running jump and they spring. But it was just it's amazing to watch the athleticism. And the, quite frankly, the flexibility.
Right.
When I watch them, you know, contort, I hurt.
Yeah.
You know.
I watch stuff like that, and I go, not even in my younger days could I do that. The only way I could do that now is if I fell off a 10-story building and landed. That's the only way my body would get into that position.
Right. Anyway, they won
congratulations to
them.
Yeah,
they won the gold medal, and then Michael Phelps won the gold medal.
The guy's a swimming machine.
Another one. I think he's got like 20-something.
Yeah.
Gold medals.
He's what, 84 now?
He's in his 80s. He's in a nursing home in somewhere in Michigan, I think. But he took a time out to go to the Olympics.
Good for him.
We'll be back in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Ray Comfort on his latest project, The Atheist Delusion.
Through the fear of the Lord, men depart from sin. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Go and play with forked lightning or do something like that, but don't blaspheme the name of God.
And we'll let Kirby Anderson of Point of View fire away at the issues of the day. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stop along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. The mainstream media have lost their collective minds over Donald Trump, this time accusing him of threatening to assassinate Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's a full-on Linda Blair headspin and exorcist wackadoodle crazy, folks. The campaign said Mr. Trump was referring to the political power of Second Amendment voters, but the mainstream media seemed to miss the nuance, providing wall-to-wall coverage of the perceived threat. Rolling Stone posted a story titled, Trump's Assassination Dog Whistle Was Even Scarier Than You Think. Folks, Donald Trump was not calling for the assassination of Hillary Clinton, and to suggest he was is just another example of the mainstream media's liberal bias. Finally, here's a bit of friendly advice to the Trump campaign. Y'all need to knock off the nonsense. Say what you mean to say, and stop explaining what you said instead of what you meant to say in the first place. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, and we're going to be joined momentarily by Janet Mefford, who's got a new radio program coming on American Family Radio. Anyway, we're talking about the Olympic Games. NBC's carrying that. But the girls' team, the girls' gymnastics team for America won last night. They won the gold medal and the four exercises. Now, that's not the... Well, I'm about to get in. I'm about to get into describing stuff. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I can feel that coming on. But they got what they call a wooden horse there, Ed.
The pommel.
That they get up on.
The pommel horse.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay.
I used to enjoy doing that when I was in the seventh and eighth grade, junior high school. We would have, you know, you'd have different things throughout the year for PE. You know, I don't know if they still have physical education, but we'd have a month or a quarter where we did gymnastics, and I was pretty good on the pommel horse.
Now, is that the one I'm talking about? The one you're talking about, the one where they get up there and they bounce around?
Well, they hold the their two hands.
Yes,
on those
the two hands. Yes,
yes,
that,
and
then yes.
They're constantly moving their legs and doing all this.
Yeah, that's called okay. All right, yeah, that's routine. What I'm talking about. You got that, and then you got the one where
I was pretty good at that.
Really, they did that in New Hampshire, did they?
They did.
Wow.
How do you think all these experts...
How far did you advance up the Olympic trial chain?
Oh, listen, when gymnastics was over, I was glad.
We went to basketball
and volleyball.
You're 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, 6'1". I didn't grow that tall until I was between 9th and 10th grade. So.
Well, let me tell you something. You get over 5'2", you can't do these things.
No, that's true.
It's very discriminatory against... gymnastics does not allow for tall people. You show up to the gym to do your little tumbles there, and you're 6'1". They tell you to go see the volleyball coach.
That's right, or the basketball coach.
Or the basketball coach. But anyway, Those are it was an amazing performance. Gabby Douglas, I guess is her name. She's the one that came on the scene 4 years ago.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking about that won last time.
Yeah, she won the gold 4 years ago in London.
Right.
And
is she on the team this year, or is she just?
I don't mean to bring up anything controversial.
Okay.
However, it was kind of weird last night because they were playing the national anthem and receiving their gold medals. So you got five members of the team.
Okay.
Of the girls, and they've all got their hands over their heart for the national anthem, except for her.
Except for Gabby or Simone?
No, Gabby. She didn't have her hand over her heart for the national anthem. And my wife said, why didn't she have her hand over her heart?
She just forget, maybe?
I guess so. She's from a military family. I guess she's very patriotic. But it was just strange. How do you forget to put your hand over your heart for the national anthem? But
someone will bring it up. I mean, sure.
Well, it was on social media last night. Not that I was, but I'm just saying, sometimes when that happens, you think, is the person making a political statement?
Right.
That's the first thing that comes to your mind instead of, well, maybe she just forgot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm thinking as many times as she's been on the podium to receive it and you play the national anthem. But
She
said, I meant no disrespect by that. I'm proud to bring the medal home to our country.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm just telling, it was something that stood. If you're watching the ceremony, four of the five girls got their hand over their heart while the national anthem plays, and one of them doesn't. It's noticeable. Anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Janet Mefford is with us. Janet's show. Janet Mefford today will start on American Family Radio in not too long from now.
Well, I think the 15th.
The 15th of the month. And Janet's heard on her own syndicated program on stations all over the country, not just not American Family Radio stations, but she'll have her own show on AFR here pretty soon. Janet, good morning to you.
Hey, Tim. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great, and I'm so looking forward to being a part of AFR. I am just bouncing off the walls, getting ready for Monday.
Well, thank you, Janet, for completely ignoring me.
Ed,
saying hi to me.
Hi, Ed. How
okay,
are you?
Okay, I'm fine, Janet. Now, yeah, but I'm a very sensitive person.
He's too sensitive.
I'm too
really
sensitive. Really,
we've got him in
to
therapy.
Well, I'll tell you what. The fruit basket's in the mail, Ed. I apologize profusely. I'm really sorry.
No, that's appropriate.
Fruit basket
for
me.
For Ed.
Yeah, that's a.
Hey, you've been
Janet
watching
Mefford live too, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've been watching any of the Olympic games?
I have to confess, I have not really been watching it. I've caught a few snippets here and there.
Okay.
A couple moments, but who has time? I haven't really been watching a whole lot of Olympics lately. But
well, the ratings are down some, but do you remember when we were growing up? The Olympic games were a big deal.
You know what? This is something interesting that you're raising, because my husband and I were talking about this. He actually has a cousin who was a four-time Olympian, and he said they have killed the Olympics and interest in the Olympics by doing this every two-year thing, because it's taken the specialness out of it. Every 4 years, you really kind of anticipate it and look forward to it coming, and now it's every 2 years, and it's kind of, I think, made a lot of us
You mean
with the Winter Olympics in between?
Yeah, right.
Mean they used to have the Olympic Games, the winter and the summer, the same year?
Same year.
Yes, they do.
Okay, I got you. That's what you're saying.
That goes back a while, though.
It does.
The other thing is that you've got so much more competing for the attention of people today than you ever had in the 60s, 70s, even 80s.
Right.
With the internet, with 120 channels.
And how are young people actually supposed to fit in the Olympics when they're so busy catching Pokemons?
Or taking selfies.
Selfies.
Selfies. That sucks up a lot of time right there.
Yeah, and you can see everything later on YouTube, or you can watch it on Twitter. So why would you tune in? You know, whatever the highlights are, you can watch it later.
Right. NBC hates to hear that because they paid like $1 billion.
Well, my understanding too, and I mentioned I'm like Janet. I have not tuned in.
Right.
And now that I hear you, Tim, talking about, I may tune in some this week just to see it.
But they're complaining
about the commercials, the number of commercials that people have to endure to watch NBC's
coverage.
These are
sports that most Americans probably wouldn't sit down and watch in a non-Olympic setting.
Right.
You know, but to the drama of the Olympics, because it's the best people, best athletes in the world, and your patriotism comes out. You want the Americans, if you're from the USA, you want the Americans to win. You want the Americans to do good. So anyway, it's just, it doesn't have the specialness, I think, for the American people, the Olympic Games, that it did back in the day, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Janet, what are we going to be hearing on the Janet Mefford Show?
Well, we are putting together a great first week. We are really excited. We don't want to give too much away, but we're going to be covering all the news that pops up from time to time, every single day, every single hour. And we're going to be talking, I know, on Monday to Rachel Alexander. She was a former assistant attorney general in the state of Arizona. And she's going to be talking about this release of the prisoners, the drug offenders by the Obama administration, and some other issues as well. And you know how things change hourly. So we're going to have a lot going on next week.
What is the deal with the Democratic Party and felons? the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. He wanted to felons to be able to vote in the state of Virginia. He issued a executive order. Now the state Supreme Court of Virginia overruled him barely. But why would Democrats be wanting to register felons?
Well, I think that the more cynical among us might actually think that it would have something to do with permanent Democrat majorities. That would be my first guess. That might be a good place to start.
Is that it would politically benefit them?
Sure, why not?
They have to cobble together all their different special interests.
I have heard the opposing argument, and I've got to say I'm not sure how I come down on this. But they have the opposition argument to the current way of doing it, where felons can't vote, is you say, well, they paid their debt to society. So now that they have come out of prison, you know, we want them to get jobs. We want them to become good citizens. So they should now be allowed to vote. You don't vote while you're in prison, but once you get out. I just got to say, I'm not sure how I come down on that issue. But I do believe it should be a decision that the people of the state make in voting, and it should not be the governor just doing what he wants to do. So I don't know. That's just me.
Who's going to win in November, Janet? Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
Well, you know, Tim, I remember you and I talked about this many months ago when the primaries were just getting started. And I think about this often because we were talking politics at the time. And I said, I really don't think Trump is going to be in it very long. He's going to be gone in a few months.
You weren't alone.
I am a bad prognosticator. I hate to even predict because I'm always wrong. But if I'm always wrong, let's say it's Hillary. How about that?
Well, what about we have a lot of listeners who I was on a phone conference. Let me just set this up and get your take on this. I was on a phone conference with supporters of American Family Association, about 6 weeks ago or so, and one of the we had several thousand people on the line listening to me and to Ed talk about the ministry and what we were doing, and because these people wrote us checks and they were interested in what we were doing with their money. And one of the things we talked about was a meeting in New York City with Donald Trump.
Yes.
Between Christian leaders and Mr. Trump. This was, again, what, 2 months ago now already? Something like that? 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that. And so they were very curious, our supporters were, what I thought of Donald Trump. And again, this is 6 weeks ago. But what I sensed among the calls and the emails, Janet, was a split somewhat. Probably 70. Let me just set this up. This lady said, she's calling from North Carolina, very sweet. She said, I am just so troubled about this election. She said, I do not want to see Hillary Clinton in the White House because many of the things she represents, the Bible is clear, clearly against, and I can't vote for her. But then on the other hand, she says, I got problems voting for an arrogant blowhard. She didn't say blowhard, but she didn't say that. She said, I got problems voting for a man like Donald Trump who is the way he is and rude and crude in many ways. So she wanted me to tell her how to vote, so to speak. It was what I thought. So anyway, Janet, what do we do in a situation where you have, do you vote? How would you handle that question?
Oh man, the $64,000 question. The way I'm dealing with it at this moment, I understand, first of all, that dear lady's concerns, because I share her concerns. I think all Christians do share her concerns. I look at it a couple of different ways. First of all, I think that we maintain our principles and we do the best we can. I think there's a tendency sometimes among Christians and among people who are constitutional conservatives to say, if I don't get a Reagan, if I don't get, you know, somebody maybe even better than Reagan, then I am compromising. And if I vote for somebody who is less than that, then I'm compromising my principles. But I always think of it as politics has always been the art of compromise. That's what politics is. So you can look at it that way. You do the best you can. You, as Ted Cruz famously said, you vote your conscience. And there is Christian liberty there. There really is. I don't see when you have people who are very, very intense never Trumpers. I understand where they're coming from. They're trying to get maybe, you know, this third party candidate elected. I think that's not going to happen. It's not going to work. I think you do the best you can, and you give other Christians Christian liberty to do the best they can. I really do, because I'm tired of seeing Christians rip their other people's heads off.
I agree. That's kind of what I told her in other words. And I think most Christians are reasonable about this thing and understand the situation we're in. And this election, not the best choices before us in terms of Christian values. Mr. Trump has some good things. Says he's pro-life. The judges he wants to appoint are very good. Chose Mike Pence, an evangelical Christian conservative from the governor of Indiana. That was a good thing. So he's done some good things. But you never know what he's going to say tomorrow.
Right.
And so that's what makes it difficult sometimes on this. But you're right. I think we need to allow each other some grace here. I had one fellow the other day email me, and let me just say with this thing about can you vote for Trump or not, it's a gotcha either way you go. If your mission is to nail somebody to the wall, your brother, it takes you about three questions and you got them nailed to the wall. And you can feel satisfied that you're holy and they're not. Because I got that the other day. We got one of our supporters, or one of our folks, and they said, Tim, are you – it was a long email. Basically, Tim, are you voting for Donald Trump? That was a loaded question right there. Okay, how do I answer that in one sentence?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, it's worth more than that, as Janet just laid out. I needed to say what she said. So I said, well – they didn't hear yet. Election Day isn't here yet, but I do think there's something to be said. I know I'm dancing around this. I do think there's something to be said for less evil.
Yes.
You know, somebody wants to burn your house down versus somebody who wants to is a bad gardener. You know, I'm taking the bad gardener versus the arsonist. All right. So that's the way I look at it. No, Tim, you're compromising. I'm not tired of voting for lesser two evils. You should be a man of God and stand up for principle and not vote for Donald Trump, and don't even encourage people to do that. Otherwise, you are compromising your convictions. How can you be a leader of American Family Association? I'm not writing you any more checks. Goodbye.
Right.
Yeah.
Forever.
So I'm thinking to myself, wow, You know, really? Really? You're going to write us off? We've been around 38 years, and you're going to write us off because you want me to say the right thing on Donald Trump that you want to hear. And, Janet, what about that preventing evil? Preventing more evil.
I agree with you. I agree. The way I've put it is sometimes you have a Christian duty to vote against the worst of two evils. So instead of voting necessarily for somebody, you're voting to stop something else. And I think that there is justification for that in many cases when you go to the polls. If you look at what Hillary Clinton has already said she's going to do, look at what she's going to do to decimate the Second Amendment. Look at her plans to decimate the First Amendment, her support for Resolution 1618 and going along with the OIC's vision of criminalizing speech or at least shaming and peer pressuring people in the United States not to have speech and put out speech that is critical of Islam. Look at what she wants to do with passage of the Equality Act, which would gut RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Look at all the extreme radical things that Supreme she wants
Court
to do.
Supreme Court will be lost for a generation.
It will be gone. And if that's okay with you, then I guess you can just stay home. You can make that decision. I can't.
I'd rather stay home than sell my soul for a casino owner.
Well, and this is the problem, because if you do stay home, I get that. I understand where people are coming from, but the net result of that is you're helping Hillary Clinton get the presidency.
I know.
So are you okay with that?
I know. Well, I would say 80% of people listening take a pragmatic view on this. They understand we're not electing the leader
pastor,
of a church.
Right.
We're electing the CEO of America. And for all practical purposes, and with all due respect to people who want to vote third, fourth, fifth party, because those people have no chance. It's either going to be, you know, unless something radical happens between now and November, it's either going to be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. One of those two people will be the next president of the United States.
Along with the members of their party in Congress. That's another thing with people saying, I'm voting third party. Well, who are they going to caucus with? You're going to elect a third party candidate? Let's say if that individual wins the presidential election, now you've got two parties in Congress opposed to the president.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to consider as you're
voting.
Here's
another thing. A lot of the folks, again, I don't mean to sound... A lot of folks who want to criticize Janet and Tim and Ed because we're not pure enough on politics, I ask them, well, you know, your House of Representatives member, you know, do you know what church he goes to?
Right.
How
about your mayor?
How about your mayor? How about your city councilman? Oh, so wait a minute, just a minute. You want to say Tim's voting for a Mormon in 2008 or when it, 12 or whenever 12. That was, so therefore I can't do that. Tim, I'm surprised you can.
Right.
And then I say, well, is your city councilman a Mormon? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
So we want to make this application sometimes selective. So I would say this. Listen, when it comes to your family, government, and church are three institutions God has ordained, right?
Sure.
Right.
We can all agree on that. Your family, you got control of that. That's as a parent, as a husband, you have the most of the say in how things go and the decisions that are made that are going to reflect godliness or not. With your church, you know what? When you should expect a theological and doctrinal purity. At your church, people should teach the Word of God, and should not.
Don't teach false doctrine.
Don't teach false doctrine.
So you have a right to expect that.
You should expect that.
Yes.
Now, when you get into government, which involves politics, you are dealing not with your family, not with the church, where everybody volunteers to come and they sign up for the same doctrine. You're dealing with the broad general public. You're dealing with people who will vote who are of all stripes, okay? They're Christians, non-Christians. There aren't enough evangelical Christians in America to win an election alone.
Right.
You're going to have to join with people who are not, if you're going to win, if that matters. If you don't care about winning, then are ever governing. But what I'm saying is, so when you have to look at it in that context, Janet, it seems to me you have to take that into consideration, that you're going to have to appeal to enough people, not just evangelical Christians, to win elections so that you can govern, so that you could get as much good laws passed or don't pass laws in some cases as possible. How do you view it? Am I too pragmatic there? Compromised the gospel?
No. Okay. In fact, one of the things you said I want to follow up on, because it's such a great point. The church is the place where we need to stand on the word of God.
Right.
Where biblical Christianity has to be uncompromised and has to be absolutely faithful to Orthodox Christianity. And my fear is I am seeing some Christians more willing to fight for the principles over the election than they are to fight for biblical purity in their own churches and denominations. So this is an important point. Where you really want to stay absolutely pure and principled and Orthodox, first and foremost, as you said, is in the church.
Because
that's the guardian of the truth. That's where we are to defend the faith once for all delivered.
The church is going to be here, Lord willing, after the election, no matter who's elected.
Right. Yes, it is. Okay. That's right. And God, we know that Christ has protected his church and we are his body, and that's the most important thing. And I think when you go to the polls, you also have to consider that it is such a precious right to be able to vote. Do you remember a few years ago during the Iraq War where they were putting all those pictures out of those women with their purple fingers and raised the purple finger? They finally got the right to vote. And Americans, we just take it for granted. So does God want us all to sit home when so many have sacrificed in order to get us the right to choose our own leaders? It seems to me that's something else that has to be weighed.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ed?
Well, Janet, we are almost out of time. You've got a new program coming out this Monday here on American Family Radio Networks. It's August 15th, Janet Mefford Live. Before we let you go.
It's Central Time.
Noon
to 1 Central Time.
Let our listeners know what kind of thing, once again, they're going to be hearing if they tune in to hear your show.
Well, we are really excited about debuting on AFR on Monday, as you mentioned, noon to 1 Central Time. And what people will hear is, we'll be covering the news, we'll be covering biblical issues, we'll be covering cultural topics, we'll be having great Christian newsmakers and pastors and leaders coming on and updating us on whatever is going on in the church and in the world. And we're going to be taking your calls. So we're really excited to be able to interact with you, hear what's on your mind, and to be able to just encourage one another in these days. And I think in these days, we need encouragement more than ever.
Amen. Well, thank you, Janet, for we look forward to a lot of great programming here on your show, add to our network, American Family Radio. And, we're reaching people for the Lord, and we're ministering to the body of Christ, and we're informing people what's going on in our country so that we can be salt and light and be a part of making a difference.
Amen.
I gave a talk last year. I called it, "We Don't Need No More Ignorant Christians." And my English professors didn't like that, but we don't need no more ignorant Christians. We don't. We need Christians who are going to be informed, educated, know what's going on, applying a biblical worldview.
And active.
Amen.
Do something.
Engaged.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Janet. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. Thanks, Tim and Ed.
Yes.
Thanks for having
Thank
me.
Thank you, Janet. My eyes will be peeled for that fruit basket. Thank you. So I'm just kidding. Forget it. Send a pizza.
Okay. You got it.
Janet Mefford Live.
From fruits to
pizza has fruit on it. It's got tomato sauce.
Can you play pizza turnover?
Can I what?
You didn't get a fruit basket turnover. You ever heard that game?
Fruit basket turnover?
Have you ever heard the expression fruit basket turnover?
I have not. I've eaten a fruit turnover.
Well, maybe I just made that up. We need to Google that, Ed, now.
Yeah.
And find out if I just made that up. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.